know the vibes. Welcome back to the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. As always, it's myself, Mo Mootsy, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. And today we are joined by a very special guest. He's been on the show a number of times if you're a long-time listener, someone who I'm now honored to call a friend, not just a friend of the show, but a friend of mine, a man whose basketball CV, resume, as you Americans call it, is so long I can't even list it. It's Coach Brendan Sir. Coach Sir, how are you doing today?
Mo, it is an honor and a pleasure to be with you and my dear partner, PJ.
It's great to have you with us. We appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to...
You know, it's almost dinner time here, so I am fired up and ready to go. And ready to go, baby. This is NBA time now in the States. Yep.
That's right. That's anyway, right. We're recording this just as the play-ins are about to start, but literally... 1 minute before I pressed record on this show, the tweet came out and Team USA's 12-man roster for the 2024 Paris Olympics has been announced. Would you guys like to hear the names that are on the team? Because they announced it before with a couple open spots. Here's the full roster.
Okay.
LeBron James, no surprise there. Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, very American Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton. Now, a superstar-packed roster, very skilled roster, but as we've discussed on this show before, I think last time you were on, Coach, we were talking about the FIBA Olympics where Team USA did not win. The Olympic style of basketball is very different to the NBA style. Now, this might be the best 12-man roster you can make to play in the NBA, but for the Olympic style of basketball... do you believe that the 12 players chosen are the best 12 that they could have gone with?
You can sell a lot of jerseys with this roster. You know, BJ's friend Michael Rubin will have a field day selling jerseys at Fanatics. Nike will be happy with all the, you know, gear that they will sell. You know, coaching staff will feel a little better than they did over in the Philippines, but they didn't hit the mark yet.
What are they missing?
They're missing toughness. And nothing to say these guys aren't tough, but, you know, you need someone when we play the lads across the way, the pond, that are so physically tough, so mentally tough. And the game is different, as Mo, as you and BJ and I discussed. I personally... due to my heritage, I like a couple of bad boys on the team. Yeah. Trademark bad boys.
And if you guys are new here listening, Coach was part of coaching staff for the Bad Boy Pistons that won multiple NBA championships. Who would you look at then in the current, you know, field of players?
I think BJ and I agree. You know, first of all, you can't play 12, right? I mean, you know, you know, 10, I think you can play, because there's so many games in a short amount of time. Plus, players do get hurt. Me personally, I'm adding Draymond Green, just because they'd be scared to death of what he might do to them on a given night, you know? And you need, I always believe, if you got my man Steph Curry on there, and you know, and Book and Tatum and Durant and guys like that, you better have an AD. You better have someone that's just going to knock them on their ass if they need be.
And especially with Steph Curry, you know, so much of his game and his experience has been Draymond setting him up for opportunity to score, Draymond setting screens for him. I don't know if FIBA will let Draymond get away with the moving screens that he loves in the NBA, but having Draymond there to help Steph, I think would be ideal.
You know, I told you the story once before about, you know, our first matchup in the Dream Team after all my scouting all over the freaking world. The one team I didn't scout was Angola. That was our first opponent. And I ended up seeing them in Flint, Michigan, a hop, skip, and a step from where BJ and I lived. And poor Barkley put I could still see this wonderful young guy from Angola who was probably 150 pounds, and Charles hit him with his forearm. And I think the guy is still going in outer space. You know what I mean? And that was the end of the game. That was it. First quarter, bang, it was over. And you know what? Everyone was scared to death after that. Now, the players have changed. They're not coming to take pictures and autographs before the game like they used to. Now all the best players in the world are non-Americans. Haha, BJ and I believe that, and you do too, that all the MVPs pretty much are going to be non-Americans this year. So I think, though, you better get someone that will not be afraid. And those guys know from playing against them that they're not afraid. That's just me.
Well, looking at the roster that they had at the last Olympics in Tokyo where they won the gold medal, they had Bam Adebayo, who's still there, Devin Booker, who's still there, Kevin Durant, who's still there, Jeremy Grant, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, who's still there, Keldon Johnson, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, JaVale McGee, Chris Middleton, and Jason Tatum, who is still there. So essentially, you're looking at the roster spots of like JaVale McGee, they've replaced with Embiid. Jeremy Grant, they've replaced with LeBron. But what's interesting to me here is a lot of the teams in the Olympics go with more bigs, like a double big lineup. And that's why they had JaVale on the roster last time. This time, you've got Bam, who's a big, but he's not a 7 foot big. And you've got Embiid, who is likely injured. I don't know if he will still be healthy for the Olympics after this playoff run.
Yep.
Does the lack of size on the team concern you guys?
I think the last Olympics was a very weak team, frankly. But I would get one more big, and frankly, you know, Draymond qualifies for me. I mean, I don't care how big he is. He plays big. He plays tough. And that's what you need when you're playing against a Serbian, you know, post guy, a German post guy. You need someone that can get down there and play post defense. I agree 100% with you.
BJ, who would you be adding to this roster if you were in charge of it?
Well, I think the formula is pretty standard, especially in international play. You need talent, which USA team definitely has, and you need toughness. You have to add toughness to do all of the things because, guys, we both understand this. International game is a totally different game. And it has really shifted. I would argue that that is the most physical game now on the planet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. By far.
The European game. So,
with the exception of the Dagestani Basketball League, I don't know if you've ever seen Dagestani Basketball, which is a combination of rugby, wrestling, and basketball. It's pretty insane if you ever have the time to check that out.
I have not, but I'm sure you will expose that to me.
It's not on my cable outlet here. I'm sorry. It's not on League Pass.
Yeah, I would definitely look at toughness. I think Draymond Green, his game translates to the European game. I think he's won, two Olympic gold medals now? One in Brazil and one in the previous, where was that at? Was in, what was the last
Tokyo.
Olympics?
He was in Tokyo.
Tokyo, yeah. So I think he qualifies. I think his game and how they play as far as a facilitator, because you're always looking for multiple ball handlers. You're always looking for people who can switch. And more importantly, guys, you're looking for bigs who can play full court defense. And Draymond certainly can do that and play with the pace of the game that's going to be needed if there's going to be an advantage for the USA team. So I think Draymond would be an excellent fit. He's a terrific player. He adds toughness. And more importantly, he can do a multiple of things and guard multiple players, okay, because the game is so much more physical. And for the most part, when you play against Serbia and these guys, they're going to play through the posts. And I just think he would be a terrific addition to the team if need be. And they're going to need someone who can do that, set screens and do all of the little things, because we know they have elite scorers. You know, you have Steph Curry, you have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant, but you're going to need someone to do all the little things. And Draymond certainly fits the bill, and I think he will be a great addition to the team.
Now, a lot of people in the Instagram comments of our page were saying, why have you got Drew Holiday instead of Kyrie Irving or Jimmy Butler? And the answer is quite simple. Drew Holiday provides defense. And the thing that's most important to me when I look at this list, Drew Holiday is the only role player on that list. The rest of those guys are pretty much the number one option on their team. You know, Bam Adebayo is not the number one option, but during a regular season, Jimmy Butler doesn't bother to play in the NBA. So he pretty much carries that load. And Anthony Davis as well is a second option, but we've seen him be a number one option before, right? I was looking at this and I was thinking, would it, not saying that these guys are better talent-wise than the guys on the roster, but people like Aaron Gordon, for example, who's a very versatile defender, can get out and run in transition, just easy points there. Someone like that, would it be worth having more role players on the team rather than guys who are all used to being number one options on their squads in the NBA?
Are you applying for a GM job in the NBA? Because that's a damn good idea. I like that.
I mean, I don't think they're ready for me. I don't think they're ready for me.
I'll tell you what, with that accent, though, you could win the damn press conference. I'll tell you what. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Yeah, you get some of BJ's clothes, man. We'll dress you up. You'd be awesome, man. I'll tell you what.
BJ's been trying to tell me to leave the hoodies behind for a while now. But I'm comfortable.
No. For the press conference, you're cool now. No. But I think BJ also, I love Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, Draymond Green, and BJ, I think, says, he would like, and I 100% agree with, more speed in the backcourt. And I totally agree with that.
Yep. And we talked about it earlier. I mean, again, in adding more speed, the name that came to mind immediately was De'Aaron Fox for me in the way he plays. I mean, you want to add speed, quickness, and be able to take advantage of the full 94 feet when you're playing. So, he for sure. I want more, as many players as I can that can play downhill, because of it's an interchangeable game and the versatility of the game. When you plan in, international competition, is at a premium. So he would definitely be a player that I would want to play with because of how fast he plays. I mean, you could argue he's one of the fastest guys in the league with the ball in his hands, and I want to be able to take advantage of that.
I have a suggestion that I saw floating around online today with that 12th roster spot that they ended up giving to Kawhi Leonard. Cooper Flagg is a young star coming out of Maine who's going to be in the NBA, I think, next year or the year after. Would it be worth giving him the 12th roster spot just for the experience? Because as you said, Coach, so you don't really play all 12 guys. And this is a very old roster, right? You know, LeBron, Steph, KD, Kawhi, they're older guys. The younger guys on there, you've got Tatum, you've got Devin Booker, who, even though he seems really young, has been in the league for a while now. Would it be worth bringing through the next generation? Because everyone always says, who's going to be the face of the NBA? We need an American face of the NBA. Obviously, you've got Anthony Edwards there. But do you think that would have been a good shout to bring Cooper Flagg? Because there's no doubt that the kid can play. I don't know how much you guys have seen of him. But maybe having him on the roster to give him that experience. And for the English fans out there, you remember bringing in a player in the England football team called Theo Walcott to the World Cup one year. He was a 17-year-old. He was supposed to be the next big thing. His career didn't pan out as it should have. But that's something that they did to give him the experience at a very young age so that in 4 years' time, when he is one of the best players in the world, if he follows the correct trajectory, he has the experience already under his belt.
Yeah. Now, personally, I love Cooper Flagg, but absolutely not. These are grown men, most importantly, but this is a very, very big event. And these are grown ass men this is their life's work. When we took Leitner, he had been at Duke for years. Chuck wanted Shaquille O'Neal. Coach K got Leitner. Anthony Davis played after his freshman year at Kentucky.
2012 Olympics in London.
Yeah, when he was coming into the NBA as the first pick. But no, I think Cooper's going to have other chances. But this is such a valuable thing, and it's a life-changing event. And we need to, in America, have some pride in playing for our country. So frankly, the other countries do. And so I think it's too important to just think it's – I understand about development. Cooper Flagg has been playing USA Junior for years, and he's been a world champion at it with a lot of other great kids. So he's got experience playing that, and he'll grow to it, in the next few years.
BJ, you and I spoke about this team. Yeah. And, you said LeBron is clearly going to be the leader of this squad, much like Kobe Bryant was in 2008, 2012. But my question for you is this. Who takes the last shot? If it's a tie game going down the stretch, who gets the last shot?
Well, this is international play. And, I don't know. I would, if you just ask me, here right now, I would probably say it would be Kevin Durant. It would be the guy that they probably would go to. But I think it will fluctuate. I think it will change from game to game. Who's hot during the course of that game? It could easily be Steph Curry. It could be LeBron. But I think KD consistently has shown that he is a real threat, because he can play that four position at his size. You know, he has an advantage without question on the offensive end. So I think Kevin Durant, like Carmelo before him, that position seems, Charles Barkley before him. The four position athletic players like that seem to really give them a problem. Carmelo and probably Charles Barkley are similar body types, but Kevin Durant has figured out since he was a young player. I remember watching him play in the international as a young player. He is a definite problem for international players because you don't see many players like him in international play.
Coach, sir, if you're coaching the squad, who are you drawing up that final shot for?
Steph Curry, Booker, Durant right now would be my three, and matchups, how the game is going, how guys are playing in that game. And Anthony Edwards, I think, is a guy that's going to be ripe for it.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot of talented international teams, right? Luka Doncic and Slovenia always dangerous, Serbia dangerous, Germany world champions. But I want to talk about France because of BJ's favorite player to talk about, Victor Wembanyama. Now, they've got Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert. The top two, pretty much this season in Defensive Player of the Year, are going to be together in the front court for the French team. How are you going about guarding that if you're Team USA? And not just guarding it, but attacking them because they don't have the defense in 3 seconds. That paint is going to be closed off.
I'll let my coaching counterpart handle that. Coach BJ, what would you do?
With which part of this one? Of the...
Trying to score on Wemby and Victor. Wemby and Rudy on the same floor. Because if they stand and put their arms out, they pretty much cover sideline to sideline.
Well, again, the secret sauce, if you will, that the international game hasn't figured out for as far as it comes to the U.S. and how the U.S. has had so much success is the U.S. has been able to extend their play for in the entire full court. And we've been able to play full court for 94 feet, right? And when Coach Sir and these guys came there in 92, you not had one, you had two of the premier defenders at the wings and at the point guard position, which was Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Okay, that's a game changer because suddenly now you're forcing the team to spend time preparing for you in a forecourt as compared to just doing it in a half court. And these games are piling on you. So suddenly now you're able to take advantage of your athletes. And the when you're constructing these teams, like Coach Sir and those guys did in 92, your depth. There will be no team, even this team, that will have the depth of the USA. However, if you can shorten the game and control the tempo of the game, suddenly your chances increase to winning that game. So I think it is in the USA's best interest to figure out if you're going to play against two, not one. I mean, this guy, Wembanyama, he's going to win a gold medal here. I'm saying that here right now. I don't know whether he does it this year or years to come. He is going to be the best player in the world. And you're going to have to figure out how to get him as far away from the basket as you possibly can. So the U.S. team is going to have to figure out how to extend their defense, push up the pressure, demand that you get those guys to play, but more importantly, play at a pace that both of those guys can't play at. And that's where, to me, it's pivotal that they play downhill, talking about the U.S., and they control the tempo of the game. So I think that will give them the best chance because if it becomes a half-court game, guys, that favors Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. Now, I think Victor Wembanyama, as I mentioned to you yesterday, Mo, is the first player I see in international play that has a chance to match Kevin Durant at the four position. I think he matches up with him. So now that puts pressure for the other players to figure out how to take an advantage. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how the teams are going to, you know, the chess match that you'll have here. But I think they're going to have to play full court. I think they're going to have to control the tempo. And more importantly, defensively, they're going to have to not just win the game. They're going to dominate the game. Because offensively, coach, they're going to have to play a full court game. And then if it gets to be a half court game, I think it's going to be very difficult for the for anyone to score versus both of those guys protecting the rim in the international game.
Yeah, I think the fast break, you know, we never ran one set play with the Dream Team. Not one. Imagine that. Not one.
So you mean your playbook is still intact?
My playbook, never used it? Yeah, it's not the Dream Team playbook. It's not. But I'll tell you what, not one. I remember Chuck was really cool. He said to Coach K, who was at Duke, he said, listen, you can put in an offensive set, and Coach K put in some offensive set. We never ran it once the whole Olympics.
So you guys are just messing with the college coach? You're just messing with the college coach?
Never got it, you know. And they just went up and down. And we really didn't even have a real point guard because Stockton was hurt. Isaiah wasn't on the team. So we really – but it was Magic and Mike and Scotty and Drexler and those guys flying up and down. But – and so it was running – so I think offensively is the key. And I put him in pick and rolls and make Rudy. In Europe, they do what we call drop coverage on pick and rolls most of the time. NBA guys will kill that, in my opinion. You know, they come off and they'll make shots.
Hold up.
The other thing, you know, that really hurts is there's only five fouls. So a guy like, you know, Gobert and Wemby, they get in foul trouble. You know, I wish they would change the FIBA rules to six fouls. But the advantage is it's only a 40-minute game as opposed to 48.
Yes, and that coach, that's a huge advantage. A 40-minute game, because anything can happen in a 40-minute game.
Yes,
and so I agree with you, and I want to say this, coach. I don't know if you agree or not. I think this Olympics is going to be the most pivotal Olympics for USA basketball moving forward for the next 20 plus years. Because I think for the first time, the world believes that they can win. Because they've
without a doubt, and
right now, you can argue that the best players in the world now are outside of the U.S. We may still have the best team right now, but the best individual players are outside of the U.S. Right? Shea Alexander, Jokic, Luka Doncic, Wembanyama. All of these guys, Giannis, the best individual player. And in a 40-minute game, that player is capable of winning one game all by himself. Yeah. So I think it's going to be pivotal. I think it's and because the international game now is, you know, those players now feel that they're the best players in the world. It's not that the U.S. has gotten worse. It's just that these guys are gotten so good now that now – you know, it was even. And now I think it's tilted to where you can say the best players in the world are outside of the United States. And I think this is going to be pivotal for this group to establish as the next Olympics will be here in the United States. And they would like nothing more than to win a gold medal on U.S. territory.
Is that the 2028 Wasserman Olympics?
That's the 28, yeah. Yes, yes. So I think this is a very, very critical for USA basketball to figure out, you know, where the direction of the game is going globally right now.
Mo, BJ just all of a sudden a trigger went off in my head about, I recall the, and I agree with 100% of what he said. It reminds me of the team meeting we had in San Diego with the Dream Team. And Chuck told them two things. And one of them was, guys, you have to every one of you guys averages 38 plus minutes a game during your teams. And you all average over 20 points a game. This game is only 40 minutes long. So you have to commit that you're not going to worry about how many shots you get, how many minutes you play. That we have to come back with a gold medal, or else none of us are getting back in the country, you know? And that's pretty much it. If these guys don't win the gold, you better move. I mean, because it's going to be, it'll be unbearable.
Well, it's all the pressure is on Team USA. We're going to have Coach Sir back on the show with us as the Olympics draw closer. We also got to get him back on to talk about some of the coaching changes going on in the NBA. Well, Coach Sir, thank you for your time joining us today on the show. We appreciate you and we look forward to you coming back and dropping some more wisdom for us.
It's an honor, as always, to be with my two friends. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And you guys listening, if you enjoyed the show, make sure you check out the Coaching You podcast that Coach Sir does. A fantastic resource, especially for basketball coaches out there. But even if you're just a fan of the game. Is that your new tagline, Coach?
Whatever BJ says, it is our tagline. Yeah, Coaching You, Coaching Me, whatever you want, baby.
You guys make sure you go check that out. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe to our show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.